the issue is with me, not you. And so when people around Bridgeton want to tweak me, you know, like run the golf course, or they want to get under my skin, they'll just
say something,
say or do. Yeah, or some other key words, and they know there's a chance that they're going to get a rise out of Whit, and that's to their advantage. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, a special edition of Zebra Stripes Podcast. Normally, we're coming to you at the beginning of the week, but we're coming to you on the weekend because it is officially NBA playoff time. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the NBA playoffs. I don't know about you guys, but for my money, NBA playoff basketball might be my best basketball. I am joined, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, joined as always by Coach Whit LaJour. Coach Whit, how are you?
Well, I'm damn good. I mean, it's about 70 degrees today. It was 80 yesterday. The fact that you got me to do this thing on the weekend on a day like today, things got to be good here in Maine. And we better enjoy it while we got it, because we're going right back into the tank this next week from what I see.
Yeah, and I mean, the only reason we would do it is because of NBA basketball. Like, we didn't even jump in for a weekend pod on the NCAA tournament. And both you and I thoroughly enjoyed the NCAA tournament. But something different about the NBA playoffs. Like, watching basketball, in my opinion, basketball at the highest level, with the best players in the world, bar none, I think that's, to me, like, it's the ultimate enjoyment. And then the fact that you get these series really, to me, gives us a true indication of who the best team is. Now, obviously, sometimes attrition happens and people get hurt, and this team won because this person got hurt. I think about the Toronto year. I don't think Toronto ever wins if KD or Klay stays on the court. I think Golden State gets it done again, but that's a part of the game, and who can survive that attrition is something obviously big. The play-in games happened over this week, and that's why we didn't give the people a pod on Monday or Tuesday, because we wanted to let the play-in games play out and then come to you right before the start of the playoffs. If you're listening to this, this is being recorded on Saturday morning. On the playoffs start Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern. And we just wanted to kind of recap everything that was going on with the play-in games beforehand.
Okay, can I jump in right there?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as most loyal listeners would expect, I mean, I've got to back up to disagree with you a little bit on my end. So, not just in full disclosure. Look, I enjoy the NCAA tournament more than the NBA playoffs. So
what?
Yeah, no. I thought that might evoke a reaction, but I enjoy, and I bet you there's people out there listening that enjoy for sheer fun the NCAA tournament more than the NBA playoffs. But what I will say, for me, I appreciate the NBA playoffs as a coach of the game, as a student of the game, as a fan of the game. I appreciate, and I also enjoy the NBA playoffs, particularly as it moves along. Okay, so I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, if you're asking me, hey, which one really geeks you up a little bit more, it's the NCAA tournament. And then if you tell me my Boston Celtics, my local green team, you know is in the championship, then that round, from an enjoyment standpoint, which is what I'm focusing on here, then sure, I'm with it. But if I'm watching any of these teams that are outstanding, if I'm watching the Bucks go against the Suns or something like that, look at, I love it, but the love it meter is higher on the NCAA tournament. And I'm just full disclosure.
Okay. So that's cool. Congratulations. And I say that with all the hate in the world. Like, just understand, I could not disagree with you more on this. And so then my question would be, which one are you choosing? NCAA championship game, game seven, NBA playoff finals?
Well, now, see, you just changed the argument, too.
No, I did not. You just said you enjoy one more than the other. Hey, so what are you doing?
No, listen now. Don't, hey. Tournament versus playoffs. So tournament, that's a full-body tournament, NCAA tournament. And we know many people, including Charles and Kenny, they love those early round NCAA tournament games.
They're lying. They're lying, though.
They're not. If you shift it to, okay, give me the NCAA tournament game, UConn against San Diego State versus, and pick any two teams.
Any two.
Okay. I'm taking that.
Yeah.
I'm taking the NBA championship game, but that's a different argument. That's a different statement. That's not what you led with.
It's not what I led with, but I'm asking, okay, how can you enjoy one more than the other if the culminating game you would never choose the culminating game in an NCAA championship over the culminating game in an NBA finals?
Well, I think you're wrong there too.
You think so? Who? What matchup would you have to get?
I would say that it would be
Duke. Would it have to be Duke, North Carolina?
No, but some of the epic games we've seen, whether it's Valvano's win against Phi Slamma Jamma, whether it's Villanova Georgetown, let's get to the modern era. There's some games that would be great, and then and put one of the great ones. Okay, even Villanova's win in
Villanova, Houston, North Carolina, when they hit the dagger and sent us home. Wright became less than human because he didn't even respond.
Maybe up against that Toronto final when people are hurt. So an NBA series where possibly the best teams don't advance, and you don't have the superstars in the lineup, because as you know well, and everyone knows, I mean, the NBA is about the superstars, as it should be, and the players, and the NCAA tends to be more about
the teams, the coaches.
It's a different deal. But I'm telling you, there are circumstances in which I would also choose that single game NCAA. That one could swing either way depending on the matchup.
But I'm saying you only pick that on the back end. You only pick that after seeing the games. I'm talking about going into the game. What are you picking over an NBA Finals game seven?
Well, I need to know what I can't. I need to know. I need more information.
You need more information, which means that the variable X always leans towards the NBA.
I don't know. I feel like I don't know. Maybe. I need I feel half the time like I need to re-listen, and then that's when your logic really comes through, and perhaps mine occasionally is flawed, but other times I feel like I can stand on my own argument. But
I'll say this. I think you're right, because the way you phrased it makes sense. As a pure enjoyment thing, the frantic 3-week boom, 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 boom of the NCAA tournament and games on games on games and upsets and one and done and all of that, it is exciting. It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable.
Thank you, my friend.
I am thinking about this, and I thought we were on the same page, which is why I have to apologize about lumping you in with my ideology. I was thinking we were thinking about this as basketball guys.
First of all, we never set up this pod so that you and I could be on the same page.
Yeah, but we are. Like, we just come at things from different angles, but we're usually on the same page. And so, my thought process about the enjoyment of NBA basketball over the NCAA tournament wasn't based off of brackets and whether or not my bracket is busted, and how, and like how crazy the upsets are and the unpredictability of a one and done. It was really more based off of, hey, if I'm coaching a team, which would I rather be in? And I'd rather be in a situation where I have 5 games or 7 games to decide who's the best team. And now I get to move through in that manner. From purely a basketball standpoint, I think the NBA crushes everything else, not just the NCAA tournament, but everything else. Because everything else is either just not as popular or one and done type of situations. And so those one and done type of situations, like the NFL is phenomenal. We all love NFL. The championship, the NFL playoffs are great. The Super Bowl is great, but it's a one and done scenario. It is a win or go home scenario. And if you catch Buffalo in Buffalo and it happens to be a snowstorm that day, and you're from Miami, there's a good chance you're losing, right? Like, those elements that come into play really do change the demographics. I will say the NCAA tournament is fantastic for betting.
I will say this too, and I think it's kind of what you're saying. I'll say it in a different way maybe, but hey, look, it one doesn't have to they don't have to be exclusive. You know, all things can be great here. So as sports fans, right, there's things that can be great. And we live in this world of ranking and choosing and either or. But the reality is, you know, all things can be great. And I'll leave it there.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Well, shout out to Whit for blowing up my hype up of the NBA playoffs. And so now, since we're watching the second most enjoyable basketball thing out there, this weekend, basketball fans, the play-in games are really interesting. There was some storylines that I thought, and I really wanted to like focus in on. And the first one, Zion Williamson being cleared to play for the Pelicans, and deciding, him and his camp deciding, nah, we're not going to play. Part of me says, like the part of me that likes to side with a player in this situation says, well, was he really healthy? Did New Orleans clear him so that the optics would be such that it looked like he was, you know, turning his back on his teammates or letting his teammates down, but in reality, he just really wasn't ready to play. That's part of it. The other part of it for me looks at it from a player's perspective on his team. Dude, get your ass on this court. If you can do anything to help us, you are a force. You are a weapon. You are Barkley 2.0. You're Barkley without a jump shot. Your early years Barkley. Maybe not as good a handle as well, but all of the athleticism, bigger body, strong, can't be stopped. Everybody knows he's going to the basket. They can't stop him from doing it. Like, we need you out here. But it's not, hey, it'd be great if Zion was here. We need you. We're a different team when you're on the court. So if you're at 75%, give me that 75%.
Well, I'm gonna keep my stuff simple. So the optics are, hey, by the way, he's windmill dunking and 360ing on the floor, which last time I checked is not typically recommended for people nursing hamstring injuries. So he's going hard in warm-ups, which is bad optics. Number two, his own statement. You know what? I'm physically ready. I'm not mentally ready. Oh, boy. Can of worms. Look out. Let's not even go there. But we all like that. That's craziness, because there's been no prior issues suggesting that there's serious emotional, mental wellness issues there. And so I conclude three, and again, I don't have any personal stake in this thing, but he's making close to $50 million off the court. He can afford not to play. So obviously, if it was 50 years ago, there's no choice anyway. And I don't begrudge the money piece of it, but in this case, I say he's awfully comfortable not playing. And that's a damn shame. And for what you said, for his teammates, he should be out there. My opinion, no ifs, buts. And so now the million-dollar question is what do the Pelicans do? And obviously they gotta keep them with all the different contractual clauses there about games played and all that. So they've got to keep them because they can't get equal value back. But holy smokes, is this a case of another flame out in the works? It's unbelievable.
Here's what I said, because I don't want to keep us on this, and I don't I don't like necessarily having to do it, but I'm willing to do it. I don't mind bashing people when people need to be bashed, because I'm willing for people to hit me over the head if I'm not where I should be. Right. Yeah. Zion Williamson has to make a decision on whether or not he really loves playing basketball. I don't know if the answer is yes. I feel the exact same way about Ben Simmons. I was going to talk about it later, but I might as well bring it up now. There are some of these guys who have just been blessed to have talent. They've used it to get to the bag. They've got the bag, and now they're good.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, that was Kobe's problem with Shaq, obviously, at the highest level.
Yeah,
that
but
exactly. Well, I'm just saying that was Kobe didn't think Shaq was working at enough. Thought his other interests, were, and young people like coaches, mature, responsible college coaches will tell guys use the game. I mean, guys are instructed, don't let the game use you correctly. Use the game. But I think there's a certain responsibility when you have a job to perform your job, if at all capable. And so when guys don't, now I think there's a problem. That's what the NFL kind of has right contractually. But
they do and they don't. Their model would actually work a lot better in the NBA.
Right.
But the fact that the NFL people are literally putting their lives on the line every time they walk out there makes it different for me in that respect. But the model of non-guaranteed contracts or only partially guaranteed contracts should be something that the NBA should have done. But when you make stars, when you are in the star-making business and you need personalities and faces to push your sport, you can't afford to have non-guaranteed contracts. It's not going to work. The equity is in the faces. That's why, the equity is not in the faces in the NFL. So New Orleans, they're gone. We don't know what Zion is. I say get him out of there, because you're not going to get equal value, but you're not getting his value. So if you're not getting his value, you might as well get players in here who actually want to play basketball and not just run up the TikTok numbers or run up the Instagram numbers.
I'd gamble one more year if I was in their front office. I would do that.
I would have never signed him to the second contract. For what it's worth, I think Zion Williams is Charles Barkley 2.0. This is not me dissing Zion
Williamson's
talent. Zion Williamson's talent. Excuse me. This is not me dissing Zion's talent. He is Barkley 2.0. But he is not Barkley 2.0 in the places where it really matters. And that's the problem for me right now. It's still early. Yep. He still could prove me wrong. But when I checked out on Ben Simmons, you want to know when I checked out on Ben Simmons? LSU.
Oh, me too.
I was never in on Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons is a legitimate baby LeBron. Like, I think he has baby LeBron talent. But I checked out on him at LSU because those type of players have never vibe with. I would have punched one of them dudes in the face so fast. We'd have been in a locker room. I would have saw how they were getting down, how they were playing. We would have had a beef, legitimate beef in the locker room. Like 18, 19, 20-year-old me, I would have punched one of those dudes directly in the face in the locker room. Yo, you got me all the way messed up. You're not about to mess this up for me. I'm not you. I'm not 6'9". I'm not 6'9", blessed with all of the attributes that you've been blessed with. I'm out here getting it in the mud and you walking and going through the motions. Yo, it would have been a problem.
But the reality is they might not have been the ones going through the motions.
No, he was going through the motions at LSU. Right. Ben Simmons was going through the motions.
Right.
I'm not talking about Zion in this case. Issue, I think, started from an injury standpoint. Like, right. I think his body is not supposed to be that explosive. There is some glitch in the matrix. You're not supposed to be that big and that athletic. It's why I ruptured my patella. You can't be 270 pounds jumping and dunking on people. Like that's not when you're 6'3" or 6'5" or like it's just that's too much torque on those things.
Yeah, I mean, if you are, you better take damn good care of yourself, which is what I think is the issue here when I listen to people. I don't know, but I just hear that McDonald's talk a lot because NFL linemen and linebackers, like we talk about, you know, years ago, we would have said there's no way those guys would hold up and this and that. But
yeah, but they don't explode like that, though.
Yeah.
All of his injuries are explosion injuries. They're all on limbs that get torque at a level that most people's don't torque at. Like, there's a reason why the elite level sprinters aren't built like linebackers. Elite level sprinters are built like wide receivers and DBs because to have that extra weight means that those tendons and all those rubber bands in the body have to be able to support that extra weight. And when you pull a rubber band too hard, you put too much force, too much stress on it, it pops. So I think that's the issue with Zion. But anyway, New Orleans is out of here. They've gotten beat. Utah is in. Minnesota. Minnesota's in. Minnesota had to play LA without Rudy Gobert because Rudy Gobert decided that he wanted to punch one of his teammates in the chest because his teammate was calling the B word. I think that's a fully okay reason to punch your teammate. I just don't think you should do it on the bench. I think you should find him in the locker room and say, "Hey, what was that you were talking?" Like, run that back again. What were you calling me out there again? And see if they're willing to say that to your face when they know that there's no cameras around and there's going to be real consequences. And then you don't punch him in the chest. You punch him in the face at that point. So Rudy Gobert put their team seemingly in a bad position. Here's what I'll say. Rudy Gobert not playing against the Lakers was actually better for Minnesota. That's why the Lakers game was so close. If Rudy Gobert plays, I believe the Lakers blow Minnesota out. Now, spin that forward to Minnesota playing against Oklahoma City. Now with Rudy Gobert in the lineup, Oklahoma City has no answers for Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. They go ham. Both of those guys show out. They blow out Oklahoma City. I want to ask you something about Oklahoma City. They have a lot of young talent. They have a ton of young talent, super young talent. They have a ton of draft picks. I've heard people say, hey, this Oklahoma City team with all this young talent, they could go and package some things and add a piece. My question is, why are you adding a piece if you have all of this stellar young talent? Why not just allow them to grow and add through the draft to develop into having a roster full of guys who could potentially be stars, all playing kind of as one unit, and keep your costs down on having to pay any one person extravagant amounts of money, and now then crippling your ability to have a legitimate bench?
Well, my reaction would just be, I think they're going to pay attention to the Celtics this year, right? And so as the Celtics were going through the stages, right, there were times when folks, me included, were saying, you can't keep these guys together. And, you know, the young guns are getting older. But if in fact, they do what some prognosticators are saying and they win a chip this year, then I think, you know, GMs are going to say, okay, we can kind of let this thing develop organically. But if it doesn't come to pass, then, you know, depending on how everything unfolds, people are going to say, guess what? You need to go get the guy, a guy, something like that. So,
yeah, I just think it's interesting. Like if everybody, and again, I'm not saying this from someone who thinks that Oklahoma City has what Boston has.
Right.
I'm saying that people act as if they do. As if they have the budding, you know, young, could be the next guy type of guys all over the place. And I'm going, well, if you have that, then why would you package them together along with a bunch of these picks that you have coming and then trade them off for one guy? I think one of the smartest things we've seen, one of the best moves we've seen, actually came by the New York Knicks. They didn't sell the farm. They didn't give up everything to get a Donovan Mitchell. Instead, they went the smart route, got Jalen Brunson, who I had been saying since Villanova, yo, I don't understand why people act like this dude didn't just dominate in college. Why wouldn't he be able to come into the league and dominate? He's a below-the-rim basketball player who's always been below the rim. Nothing changes. And now New York looks like a team that may not be poised to win a championship, but the future looks bright with New York. Like, I see that as a model that people should follow, as opposed to let's trade all the assets away to go and get, you know, the guy. That's where New York screwed up in the past with Carmelo Anthony. Had Carmelo been more patient, had New York been more patient, let him get to free agency and now go and get him and bring him in as a free agent to go with all of that talent that New York had when they had to give it all away for Carmelo. And now you got something brewing. But when they brought in Carmelo, they had to get rid of all the talent.
I mean, I think there's more than one way to go when you're trying to assemble a championship team. So obviously Phoenix went the other route we're talking about, and they added the guy. And so now we're going to see in that case whether the guy, in addition to the other terrific players, Phoenix has enough to put them over the top.
Would it be fair to say that Phoenix was already knocking on the door, though, before they went out and got the guy?
Yeah.
They were already in the final.
A little closer.
Yeah, so if you're already in the final and then you go out and get the guy, that's different than if you're just out here. Like, Boston going to get the guy now that they've already knocked on the door, to me that's different than 3 years ago, them packaging everything together to go get Anthony Davis. Was that three years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, when they were almost in on Anthony Davis? Like, for them to put everything together to go get Anthony Davis, it would have just made them the Boston Pelicans instead of the New Orleans Pelicans. You know what I'm saying? So that's interesting. One other play-in game that I wanted to talk about. The Heat, they lose to Atlanta for the seventh seed. Shout out to Atlanta and Quinn Snyder kind of righting the ship in a way, even though I think that if they had just allowed things to continue on, this is probably where they would have been with Nate McMillan. Like, I don't know if he really changed anything or if it was just a different voice, but Atlanta gets the seventh seed. The Heat get the eighth seed after they take out Chicago, who beat Toronto, which was interesting because that was DeMar DeRozan going back and playing Toronto for the first time in Toronto, which I think was interesting. I didn't, like, he's been gone for a few years now, but that was his first ever meeting back in Toronto against Toronto.
Yeah, and they didn't like it very much either, from what I read.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a little bit surprised Toronto couldn't get that one done. And then Chicago had pretty good luck in the regular season against Miami too. But old Jimmy Butler's put an end to that.
Yeah, Jimmy McBuckets. Jimmy Buckets time. This is the time of year when he all of a sudden becomes like a 28, 30-point scorer.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, too. I'll tell you what. That missed layup, and I can't remember who. I don't think it was Zach LaVine, but there was a missed layup that would have put the Bulls up 5 with, I'm going to say, 2 minutes to go, either just under or just over. But the Bulls would have gone up 5, and that's a different game. And it was an extended layup, but it was a layup nonetheless that I think if it goes in. Well, no, I'm just saying the guy had it wasn't a floater. It was a freaking layup that he missed that – the Bulls might have walked out of there winners, but then immediately came down. I think that's when Strus, made the three. And Miami goes on that quick little run there, and game over. So again, I tell my guys all the time, the layup, is the one of the most underrated shots in the game, because who finishes at the rim versus who doesn't is as big a factor as any in a lot of these games.
No, I was saying that because I agree with you. I don't think there's any excuse for missed layups in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but just something.
I mean, it does, but it shouldn't. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It does, but it shouldn't. Like, I don't like missed layups in high school. Like, layups. Not like you said, not like floaters or you had to change something up, but you just blew a layup. And I think that's one of the issues. I really believe that this Bulls team is a healthy Lonzo Ball away from being a problem for people.
Yeah.
Like a healthy, like a guy who really kind of understands how to manage a floor, plays great defense, underrated shooter, because people don't like the way it looks, so they don't respect it as much. Like, they are a healthy Lonzo Ball away from being a problem. And I don't think they're ever going to get a healthy Lonzo Ball. I don't know what happened to it. Like what? Maybe it was just something that was just a degenerative issue. I don't know, but I don't know if they're ever going to get a healthy Lonzo Ball. My question for you, though, is the experiment with everybody looking the same over in Toronto? Because Toronto was kind of like they were the proving ground, right? They were the ones that seemed to go all in on this amoeba look of a lineup where you just got a bunch of 6'8 guys, 6'8, 6'9 guys running all over the place, being uber athletic, but not being a specialist or at anything. Is that over? Because we've seen the pendulum starting to swing back to having a guy who can get you a bucket down low in recent time for this year. Not that we're ever going back to the quintessential big man, but people are finding value in a guy that can get a bucket in the paint on the regular.
Yeah, but I mean, say Jimmy Butler gets buckets in the paint. So theoretically, right, we tell our teams that some years when we're smaller, right, that, hey, look, at points in the paint can come different ways. It doesn't have to be the traditional old school low post. So, I mean, some of these interchangeable guys you're talking about, these versatile amoebas, you know, can take a page out of the Jimmy Butler book and go get points in the paint. So my answer is no, I don't think the experiment's over at all. In fact, I think it continues to trend that way. But same old thing, I just think there's different ways to win. Like there's different, you know, your rosters get constructed at different levels for different reasons all the time. And so the question is, with what you've got, can you play in, you know, what some people would say is, you know, championship manner? You know, can you get your roster to function at its highest level, whatever that construction may be, right? So the Nuggets construction is different than, you know, the Suns construction, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, I don't think that experiment's over.
Not to apply pushback, because I want to get us into the, right, the playoffs, but I also am thinking this outside of Detroit. When was the last team that won a championship without a transformational player on it?
Well, I mean, let's go back to when, you know, let's go back to Toronto for a second and just say, look at this verse. You know, these guys were Leonard.
Kawhi.
Yeah, Leonard. Kawhi. Thank you. And, so with Kawhi, you know, if you put Kawhi, who again is one of these versatile, interchangeable players out there, but he happens to be a superstar, then that mix works. So I guess what I'm saying to you is, you look player. So a transformational player can fit as part of this interchangeable experiment thing, yep, is what I'm kind of saying.
No, I agree, but the transformational player is the straw that's stirring the drink.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, then I agree with that. So it's never, what's never going to get old in the NBA. What's always going to happen is that typically
you need a transformational guy.
Stars win.
Yeah, and because I even look at the Kawhi year in Toronto, a super lucky bounce on a three ball gets them past Philadelphia. Then they get to the finals, and not only are they there with a compromised KD, who eventually, you know, goes down, but then you get Klay to go down. Not only does Klay go down for a year, but he goes down for two, which then turns around and allows Golden State to have two down years so that they could replenish the coffers, if you will, refill the coffers, and now they're right back up again because they have a transformational player in Steph Curry. So my thing is that without the transformational player, the experiment is doomed. Like, you can't, OG Anunoby can't be your best player on the team, right? Like, that's not going to win you a championship. Even if you clone Anunoby and put four of them on the court, which is essentially what they're doing, like, that's not going to be enough to beat a Giannis. That's not going to be enough to beat a LeBron, a KD, a Steph, that type of thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, that a lot of other things are going to have to happen with that scenario to allow that team to make it through to a championship, particularly in a series versus a one-game scenario, which we already talked about.
All right.
And
so,
editor's note, the word transformational, by the way, for anyone paying attention, God, I hate that word, but it's because of an old boss that used to came in using all the business buzzwords. So transfer everything at Bridgestone became transformational. I heard the word so much. It's a word I intentionally stay away from, although I brought it back some. But give me the willies.
Do you have a better word to use?
I would just say, you know, superstar, maybe, game changer, maybe.
Okay.
Difference maker.
Yeah, but a role player can be a difference maker.
Hey, listen, if you want to go with transformational, just go. Just know when you do.
I'm looking for another word that fits into that. Like, I'm using transformational in the definition of the word.
I got it. So, no, that's good. So the issue is with me, not you. And so when people around Bridgestone want to tweak me, you know, like run the golf course, or they want to get under my skin, they'll just
say
or do. Yeah, or some other key words, and they know there's a chance that they're going to get a rise out of wit, and that's to their advantage. So, anyway.
Well, that's good. Hey, if I'm ever on the golf course, you hit a good shot. Yeah. I'm like, yo, that's a transformational shot.
Yeah, and you've helped your cause.
I might throw your entire game off. I might get two strokes aside off on that one. I'm glad to know it. Thank you for letting me in on that.
I wouldn't share that. I wouldn't share that with just anybody. But
no, you shared it with the world. We appreciate it. Right. The world appreciates that. Hey, listen, you know, y'all are getting exclusive content right now. This is exclusive inside wits. Like, if I was coaching against you, I'd be like, you know, Witt up there at Bridgestone, man, they've got a transformational team this year. It's great.
Yeah.
Like, I put it somewhere in a press conference so that I know that you saw it.
Funny stuff. That we got to get on to this first round, but that reminds me of some pregame coaching stuff like this, game playing, if you will, that went on when I was in as an assistant at the college level. And never forgot it either. I'm not big on some of that pregame stuff, but you can, there's a little pregame theatrics and antics you can definitely pull, right? It's all part of, you know, gamesmanship. So
absolutely.
Anyway.
That's gamesmanship. All right. So let's get into the matchups, these first round matchups. I'll go through the four that are today and then the four that start tomorrow, I believe. So today, game one, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 76ers Nets. That's a 3-6. That's a 3-6 matchup, 76ers Nets. 76ers, in my opinion, a team that has the makeup to win a championship, except I don't believe in James Harden at all. The Nets should not even be in the playoffs, but they're here because they had guys winning games, and then they traded all those guys away. So
it's one of my two sweet picks in the first round. So I don't see the Nets winning a game. And I think we agree from our conversation before we went on air. If the 76ers are going to do anything and all of that, then they need to make short work of the Nets, and I believe they will too.
Absolutely. I think anything more than four games is a letdown for the 76ers because you have to find a way to get Embiid through the playoffs healthy. And every single year in the playoffs, they've played more games than they should. Embiid has gotten banged up or nicked up, or some of it is unfortunate, but it is what it is. Like, you got to try to get him through to the money games healthy to give yourself a chance, because if he's there, he's going to perform. Like, if he's there, he's going to perform, but you want to get him there healthy. Game two, or the second game today, a game you should be really tuned into, Celtics versus Hawks. That's a 3:30 p.m. Eastern time game. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, I mean, I don't see a sweep coming. I think the Celtics will advance for sure, but not without a defeat and or two. And I think one of them is likely to come at home. I'm just going to kind of stay with, you know, the fact that they've been up and down and kind of confusing to a lot of people at times. And while I think they could blow the Hawks out twice in Boston to start this thing, nah, based on what we've seen, they won't. And, you know, it's good. They're going to find a way to make it a little harder than it needs to be. And the Hawks have the guy, Trae Young and company, that can easily squeeze out, say, two games.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you. I would say that if the Celtics are really serious about winning a championship, they need to make short work of the Hawks. The defensive prowess that we both know that the Celtics can play with when they want to, like that ability to turn it up and really use that length and that physicality that they have, with all of these six seven plus, I mean, Jason Tatum is probably legitimately like 6'10". Really right now, like walking around with these long arms and his athleticism, they can make it really, really difficult on shooters. And then you have a guy in Marcus Smart that could just be an irritant to Trae Young. Like, I think they should make short work. I see a 4-1 series in this. I agree. I think Atlanta gets a game somewhere, like the Hawks let one go somewhere, the Celtics let one go somewhere. The Hawks just get nuclear hot, and it's a shootout, and they win in a shootout on one of those types of situations. But I think that's a 4-1 series. Moving on.
I like that, and I'm just going to add. I mean, because I think I agree with you. I think both teams have a chance to make a bit of a statement. You know, mm-hmm. the Celtics statement. You know, forget about just getting back to the chip and all that, but because that's the biggest part of it. But Mazzulla, right, has a chance to make a statement. Robert Williams, you know, healthy Robert Williams in this series, if all of a sudden, you know, then if they play the way you're suggesting. So the Celtics have, you know, a few question marks, if you will, that give them reason to make the short work. And then the Hawks as an up-and-coming team, same. So I like the sound of 4-1. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm not, my heart says yes, and possible sweep, but I don't buy it. My head says they'll find a way to make it harder than it needs to be. So we'll see.
Gotcha. The best, in my opinion, the best Eastern Conference matchup of the first round, the Cavaliers versus the Knicks. Who knew that I'd be saying this, but super intriguing coin flip game. I think that the Knicks are a great story this year and what they've been able to do. I obviously have a lot of faith in Brunson. I think the Cavaliers have a ton of talent. And if I was to say, like, who has more talent, I think the Cavaliers have more talent. I think the Knicks have more dogs. So I'm going to take the Knicks in a 7-game series in this first round. What do you like?
I like the Cavs in 6 or 7. So I agree. It's going to be a great series. I think it's one of the marquee ones for sure. I agree. The Knicks are a huge feel good story, and that which is good for basketball to make the Knicks relevant, obviously, in New York. But I don't think they have. And Julius Randle's a little questionable as to how he's going to hold up. So I like the Cavs in part as the home team in 6 or 7. Maybe.
You wonder about how he's going to hold up physically, or
yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, because if he's healthy, if he was all the way healthy, I'd be a little bit more bullish on the Knicks. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes the Lakers made was getting rid of Julius Randle. Like, I thought Julius Randle should have been the one that should have been one of those ones that they held on to when they were doing all of that LeBron play. But I digress. The last of today's game is the first Western Conference game that we talk about. That is the Kings and the Warriors. The Kings are the 3 seed. The Warriors are the 6 seed. That's the 8:30 game tonight. This one for me is interesting because I've been saying for a long time that the Kings have a team. I haven't said it on this pod, but I've been saying the Kings have a team that reminds me a lot of the Warriors and how they get down and how they play. I think the interesting part for me is no point guard in the NBA, including Ja Morant, plays with more of a chip on their shoulder than De'Aaron Fox does. De'Aaron Fox 100% believes he's the best point guard in the NBA. I have no doubt about it. I don't think he's ever said it. I just think he thinks he's the best. And I really just want to watch this De'Aaron Fox Steph Curry matchup. I think it's going to be phenomenal because Steph Curry is the pettiest dude in the game, and any slight will have him trying to go for 45, 50 in the night. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I think I lean experience and being able to turn it up. So I like the Warriors. I don't think it's going to be a short series, though. I think this one has the potential to go 6 or 7. But I like the Warriors.
Yeah, and I agree, as one of the two, you know, not chalk teams, as one of the, you know, at least by seeding purposes, underdogs, if you will, they're one of the two underdogs in the first round that I would take too. I'm just not going to bet against the Warriors experience, but I think it will be a good series.
Yeah, absolutely. The first game tomorrow, the 3 o'clock game. 3 o'clock game tomorrow, is that it? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Yeah. I would have broke this whole thing up east and west, but you got way more complicated. So,
yeah, I only switched it up by one team. One matchup. The first four were three Eastern Conference teams and one Western Conference team. But because this is going to drop essentially by the time the first game is starting, I kind of wanted to put us there. Maybe if people want to listen while they're watching the basketball games. The first game tomorrow, Grizzlies-Lakers. That's a tough road to climb for the Lakers. However, I think the hubris of the Grizzlies may work against them. I think the hubris of the Grizzlies may work against them. I like the late addition of Tristan Thompson as a guy who's going to come in and eat up a lot of rebounds. I think that takes a little bit of the pressure off Anthony Davis. I like a lot of the changes that the Lakers have made in their lineups. I don't know how healthy everybody is, but I think if everybody can play to a relative healthy level, I think the Lakers have a chance of upsetting Memphis in the first round. Would I be willing to bet it? As a Lakers fan, I try to never like bet on the teams that I root for, because then I feel like it's like a double loss when they lose. But if I was going to bet, the money for me is to bet on the Lakers as the underdog in the series. I think they have a chance as the 7 seed to make a run, especially if they get past Memphis in this first round.
Yeah, I mean, and I think just like the Warriors, you know, the seed number, you know, really is it's just not accurate, right? Reflection. So I think it's kind of meaningless. So I like the Lakers here, although in a long series, and ultimately, again, star power and experience winning out, maybe in a 7th game on the road or something like that, but. I just think both the Lakers and the Warriors as 7 and 6 seeds they're not your average 7 and 6 seed.
The last Eastern Conference first round game, the number 1 seed Bucks versus the 8 seed Heat. Kind of sucks to be the Bucks and have to see the Heat in the 8 seed, because we know how good playoff Heat is and how good, you know, Jimmy Buckets is when he starts becoming like a scorer. And they have shooters. They have a lot of different ways that they can play in Miami. And I think that's one of the beauties of Eric Spoelstra and what he's kind of been able to turn this team into over the last, you know, 10 years or so, maybe not 10 years, but like the last 7-8 years, as they've transitioned away from the Heatles to what they are now, is that they have an ability to play different styles. I've never really been sold on Milwaukee. I don't know why. They won a championship and I went, huh? Okay. Like, I don't know why I keep like sleeping on Milwaukee. I think Giannis is great. Definitely in that game changer category. Not to use the T word, but I don't like the fact that he has this glaring hole in his game. I don't know why more people don't just like, you know, play him for the jump shots and make him do that. Like, or put him on a line more. I don't know, but I don't know why I've just never really been sold on Milwaukee. I'm not sold on them now. I think the Heat go 8-1 upset. 8-1 upset, first round, Milwaukee goes home. Give me the Heat in 7.
All right. Well, I will send you a bottle of your favorite cognac, should that happen. That prediction's as bold as
Grand your, Marnier. Grand Marnier.
That prediction's as bold as your call on Princeton over Arizona. And I think you're way overestimating the Heat, way overestimating the Heat in this year. This is not the Heat of years ago. You're last way, year. Way underestimating the Bucks. And this is one of my sweeps. So
this is your sweep? Ooh, I like it.
But hey, listen, if you want to give, because I respect the Heat. So if you want to give the combination of Spoelstra, Butler, and Bam one game, I will. But that's all the Bucks will give them, one game. So it might go 5.
Ooh, I like it. Like, I am I am on the side of, I think the Heat have a chance to get it done, and you're on the side of the Heat's getting out of here quick. I love it. I love it. And for by the way, that's how this series is going to go. Either it's going to go like 7, in my opinion, either it's going to go 7 and the Heat are going to win it, or they're going to get swept. Like, I'm, or 5-1, a 4-1. Like, I will not be surprised if the Heat get swept.
Wait, can't say that. Stop it.
Why not? I can't say wouldn't be surprised.
You went on for 7 or 8 minutes about 7 minutes and then. Right? Wow. Well, it was 3 or 4.
Okay.
And you can't now turn back around and say you no with what
no, I'm saying I've no. never believed in this has Good. Less to do
and
with
I get it. You've never been a Bucks believer and the Heat have this and the Heat have that and that's why you're gonna do this.
Yeah.
So then you can't turn around now and say
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't stop. I said the Heat in 7.
Stop
I didn't
it.
Say the Heat in 4. I didn't say the Heat in 5. I'm not saying that the Heat's a better team.
No, but you can't say the Heat in 7 and then say they might get swept.
Do you think that the Heat are a legitimate 8 seed? Or do you think that how things have transpired this year just put them into an 8 seed? Do you think they're probably better than an 8 seed?
No.
You think they're an 8 seed this year?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's why you believe that they should be 4-0, right? So
and that's why I'm not going to say, and by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if they won.
Yeah, but that's because you think they're going to get swept. I said the Heat are going to win in 7. That means they're going to lose 3 games.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, but for losing 3
okay,
versus
you know what?
Losing
fair enough.
4 in a row.
The Heat,
okay.
I'm pounding the table.
Maybe
the Heat in 7.
There. Thank you. My
yep.
God.
Get that Giannis.
Like you.
Get that Giannis junk out of here. Heat in
Love
7.
It. That's yes.
Yes. That's what the people want. They want hot takes. Let me not just give them some real legitimate, like, this is I get it, but okay, cool.
Might go
here, might go there. Suns Clippers. Suns Clippers, the best matchup of the Western Conference. Best matchup of the Western Conference, Suns Clippers, the 8 p.m. game. What do you think?
Well, I got, you know, I'm not sure. It's a good matchup. I think the best in the West is that Kings Warriors. But that being said, that's a, you know, that's splitting hairs maybe. I've got Suns in a sweep.
You got Suns in a sweep over the
That's a little outrage. Yeah.
Over Kawhi, outrage. Like fully loaded Kawhi.
Yeah, minus Paul George.
Yeah, but you know.
Nah, but and
that's are we really missing anything with Paul George not here?
Good question.
He's been awful in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
isn't it really more addition by subtraction in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's going maybe a little further than I would, but
okay. I'm just
because if you ask their coach, like if Paul George was available to play, coach, would you sit him? You know, would you sit him? And I don't believe they would be.
In an honest moment, would he sit him?
No way. Because so, the playoffs are an honest moment. Like the NBA, we can question the honesty, right? The integrity, small.
No, you know? I'm just saying, like in an honest moment, is he saying to himself, man, you know, actually with Paul being with Paul George not being here, this opens us up to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I it sounds crazy to say because Paul George is a great basketball player, but he just hasn't been very good in the playoffs. Like I don't know.
I agree with that.
I don't know what this playoff P thing is. A playoff P thing is a myth. Like
well, it changes guys too, right? So I mean, yeah. Hey. Right, and that's let's go back just for a second to Jason Tatum, and you know now when it's okay, you know championship Tatum, what are you gonna do? And then who's the Toronto Wiggins, boom, like boom, the you know certain stages change guys, you know.
Yeah, so, although I would say in that case Wiggins not the guy, Tatum's the guy.
Well, yeah, no. It's a different. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's a different. The analogy is different, but
no, anyway. I get it though. Like, but yeah. But there's some people who can't step up in that situation.
So I like. Hey, look it. I you know I'm being bold with my son's sweep pick here because I think that's a little that's out there a little bit. I think it's I'll say five or six is more what my head would say, but I think this is a statement series for the Suns. Like, hey, by the way, just in case you're wondering about how much of a threat we are to win the not only the West, but potentially a championship, we're just going to show you right now. So we're going to make short work of, you know, a pretty good Clippers team. That's where I'm coming from.
I like Suns in six. I'll take Suns in six. I think the Clippers find a way to get two. I think Kawhi fully loaded, with the leash taken off of him, with the governor taken off of him. You've managed him all year to get him to this point. Now let's see Kawhi fully loaded. I think Kawhi fully loaded should be able to get them two games. I'll go 4-2 Suns there, and the last game of the Western Conference first round, the number one Nuggets versus the Timberwolves, number 8.
Sweep. Nuggets.
Upset. Timberwolves.
I'll tell you what, you've said some crazy things today, but that may be the absolute craziest.
I am 100% not a believer in the Nuggets.
So that's two bottles of Grand Marnier now.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you the honest truth. Like, I don't understand why Jokic gets all the love for being a professional stat patter that they give flat to Russell Westbrook about. He has won nothing. He has done nothing that warrants you calling him or putting him in the annals of guys who've won championships. And yet this dude has been talked about as if he's changed the game. And he has not changed the game because people who change the game win championships. And this guy has had the opportunity with very good supporting cast and has flamed out every single year in the playoffs. And so now you give me a team like Minnesota who has not one but two people who can not only make Jokic work on the offensive side, but make him work defensively as well. I'll take my chances on the upset right there. And I think the value is so high, if you're a betting person, that you'd be foolish not to put money on Minnesota to win this. Because Anthony Edwards, they have zero answer for Anthony Edwards over there in Denver. I can't say the same for anybody else on Denver's team. I can't say the same. So I like this matchup. If it was any other team, if it was any other team outside of Phoenix, I'd go Nuggets in the first round. Any other team. If Minnesota was playing any other team other than the Denver, I would pick that team over Minnesota. To me, this is the perfect foil for the Nuggets and will, in my opinion, expose Jokic as a guy who is just another one of these regular season dudes who, when they get to the playoffs, all of a sudden can't get his team over the hump. Of course, it'll be shaped like it's shaped for Luka Doncic. It'll be shaped as if he needs more help. Meanwhile, all these people are going to keep trying to get away because they're like, yo, this is not the move. Was that spicy enough for you? Was that?
I was just leaving it alone because it was so good.
There's no me, I can see it going the other way? No, I really think that the Nuggets are going to get beat.
Right, and I don't, but I hear you loud and clear.
Yep, so we have, that's two that you have a sweep on one side and I have an upset, right?
Yep.
I like it. Man, I like when we are like fully pinted against each other. Real quick, what's your thought processes about Boston? Do you think they get it done this year?
I don't think they get it done, and I think there's too many good teams that they got to get through to get it done, and too many chinks in the armor, so to speak, and ways that they don't, including an inexperienced coach in a series situation against the best of the best. So I would, I'll be surprised if they get out of the East.
Follow up. If Udoka was the coach, would you think that they have a chance to win it all?
I'd feel better.
Well, do you think they would win it all?
It's almost back to my our conversation earlier to start the pod. You're cutting out on me, but I'll just keep going and pretend that you're still with me. Okay. You'd have to go back to see how their season played out, because I think their season would have gone differently under Udoka, and so therefore now at this point I'd probably say yes. But if they played the same way under Udoka and there were some this and that, then I would be, again, not as uncomfortable as I am now, but I'd certainly be more, I'd feel better, no question, with a guy who proved himself and you know, was getting right back there with his team and all of that. So, yeah, the Udoka thing changes it for me.
Last thing. If they don't achieve a respectable level of advancement in the playoffs, do you see a coaching change?
Yeah, I think there will be a coaching change if they don't make a very serious run. Because again, the thing they have going for them, right, is both, is a healthy Robert Williams, and then, you know, Brogdon and Derek White. I mean, God dang, on top of Marcus Smart. So, you know, and Al Horford only has so many more, you know, dances to attend. So, I mean, I think the Celtics have a lot going for them. I do. Don't get me wrong. I just don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth and say you can do what they've done all year with an experienced coach and advance against these other teams that are very talented in their own right. So
that's fair. I mean, that's fair. It's rough.
And I'm not. And you know what? Until Jason Tatum proves he's the guy, I'm not sold that Jason Tatum is the guy. If I'm being, you know, I'm not sold.
Yeah. You've gotta beat the man if you want to be the man, right? So, I think it's a rough place to be in, as the head coach of the Celtics, that your bar is so high in your first year that if you just like, I think if they get past the second round and get mollywopped in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think there's a head coaching change. Like, right. That's what the margin for error is for him. And that, to me, that's so rough in your first ever shot at this. And not for nothing, if he does get fired, there's no immediate shot out there for him, most likely, in the NBA. Like, he's going to go right back to where he was, you know, as a guy who on a staff, but maybe not even the number one assistant, you know, on a staff, if it doesn't work out in Boston. And that's a shame. It's almost like a Raheem Morris situation. You know, you get it. You get this appointment almost too early. Expectations, obviously the expectations for Raheem were different, but expectations are so high. It's not that you don't get it done. It's just you don't get it done to the level of what fans and maybe the front office think you should do. And now we got to move on and you've got to kind of pick up the pieces and get back into the shuffle of working your way back up to that spot. So
the one thing he'll have going for him is Brad Stevens is
Lawrence Frank. You know,
well, yeah.
It's a Lawrence Frank situation.
That's a good call. It's a very good call, but Brad Stevens will, you know, most likely have his back. I would assume. So, you know, well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, you know, one of the storylines as the playoffs unfold.
I'll keep this brief because as a Lakers fan, I always have high hopes for my guys, but it's a meat grinder in the West. Like, it's just so rough over there, like in the West right now. If Phoenix is clicking, I just don't see how anybody beats them. That's what my brain goes to. If Phoenix is clicking, if everybody is healthy, which is a if, I don't see how anybody beats them. And therefore, it's difficult for me to – I mean, it's impossible for me to say that the Lakers are going to win a championship this year. I will, however, say that the Lakers are constructed right now to give anybody problems. They're constructed right now to give anybody problems. And mostly that is due to Anthony Davis playing like Anthony Davis and not playing like some other. Like, if he's playing like a legitimate MVP candidate, then they have the makeup, because LeBron's still LeBron right now. He's still LeBron. And you know that in the playoffs, LeBron is going to kick it up another notch. So he's still going to be LeBron. I think having a guard who's not only unafraid to get his gun off, but actually has a pretty good gun, is going to be good for them. And then they have other guys who really just know and embrace their roles, and that is usually a recipe for LeBron to take a team deep into the playoffs. So I like their chances of making a run. I don't think they're winning the championship unless every single thing falls perfectly and Anthony Davis plays like he played when he was in the bubble.
Yeah, I like him making a run too. I got Suns Bucks in the final, but I'm not going to even worry about that till we play the first round. We gave our first round picks. We'll see how it unfolds. We know there's going to be a few surprises, so we'll get a chance to analyze later rounds as they develop. But right now, I'll say Suns Bucks in a pretty entertaining final.
Yeah, if I had to choose two right now, I would probably, I'd probably say Suns. I'd probably say Suns and 76ers in the final. So
bold choice.
Right now, I think. Like, yeah. Suns, 76ers in the final. If I had to choose one right now, I agree with you a lot on the Celtics situation. I think it's just one where there's going to be so much pressure on everybody that it might bust the pipe. And I think the 76ers are set up to make a legitimate run just based off where they're seated and the fact that I think that the Heat are going to upset the Bucks. So.
Yeah, and I like the 76ers too. If I didn't take the Bucks, it would be the 76ers. I just have more belief in Milwaukee getting back with a healthy Chris Middleton and Giannis. But
Coach Bud's great. Like, that's the thing too. Yep. Coach Bud's great.
So we'll see. All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode. We got a little extra, 15 extra minutes out of us today. And, make sure that you like, make sure you subscribe. Hey, here's what we need out of all of you guys who watch. We really need you to, go to one place and listen. Not, I said watch, but I meant listen. We need you to go to one place and listen because we need to get these numbers up. We want to continue to build the pod and the platform. So pick one place that you find Zebra Stripes podcast at. I would say go to Spotify, since that's where right now our biggest listenership is. Go to Spotify and subscribe to the show. Do that for us. That's how you can support us as we continue to grow. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and let's really build this up. We want to get to 100 subscribers. We want to get to 100 people that are watching. We got small goals. We're in this thing for the long run because basketball never stops, and we love the game, and that's pretty much what we're built around, even though we talk other sports. And so really want you guys to go out there and continue to support as you've been supporting. Tell somebody to tell somebody and leave some comments. We've had a few comments. Leave some more comments. We want to hear what you have to say. What's your first round upset? Like, give us a first round upset that you like. And we'll look forward to hearing from it. We'll even shout y'all out on the next show. Until then, he's Coach Witt. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Y'all have a great one.